Let's stand just for one moment and let's pray. You can turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. So thank you, Father, for this time we have this morning in your presence. And, you know, of course, here to receive your word. And like that, like by the grace of God, sometimes you even go beyond, you know, what we're ready to receive. Isn't that great? Like, we just thank you, Lord, that you can do that. Just like beyond, like the arrow is beyond us. You're doing it, Lord, and we're just receiving it. And we have hearts, like, for you to impart and guide and direct us, Lord. We're just thankful for this time. In the name of Christ, amen. Okay, we can be seated. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Thank you, Pastor Schaller, for the privilege of standing in your pulpit. It's never a small thing, you know. Of course it's not, but like in our hearts, it's a really, really, you know, big thing when the man of God entrusts his people for you to speak to them from his pulpit. That's like as big as it gets, isn't it? I mean that. You know, like you really trust me that much? No, Chloe's come in and correct you, which is nice too. So we have liberty here in, you know, 2 Corinthians 1:12. One of the greatest manifestations of grace in the Bible. You know, like, and that we could talk about the grace of God, and like, this is such a big manifestation what the grace of God can set us free. From here, I'm not there yet, but I'm getting there. 2 Corinthians, and I hope that's where it is. I can do this too. For our rejoicing is this. It's amazing in the Bible. We have many rejoicings. You know, Christ tells us in Luke 10, you know, rejoice because our name's in heaven. It's a good one, isn't it? Right? You know, I'll rejoice for this, I'll rejoice for that. Hey, like, you know, it's good to grab a hold of these rejoicings. Like, yeah. Yeah, like, why should I rejoice? My name is in heaven. Maybe that's my question today. Or I can say, yeah, thank you, Lord. Christ says, that's why I want you to rejoice, you know. Then, you know, we have Romans 5:2, where we're rejoicing because we stand in grace. Now there's a rejoicing. Stand in grace, fall in grace, right? You know, Philippians 4, like, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Why? You know, because the Lord is at hand. We got some rejoicing to do, don't we? And here, you know, Paul is saying, this is our rejoicing. It is the testimony of our conscience, like, that it is, like, in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have our conversation in this world and more abundantly to you. Paul's saying, you know, we've got something to say, and it is a testimony, and it's that, like, it's simple. You know, it's amazing how we make things complicated. God makes it very, very simple. How simple is it? He says, faith like a child. God says, and we go, yes. Is that easy enough? Right? This is our life. I mean, this really is our lives. Maybe I've made it very, very complicated, but God makes it very simple. Think about it, like, so much that, you know, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11, like, I'm, like, afraid that you could be removed from the simplicity. Really? He says, I fear lest just like that devil beguiled Eve, he could do it to you and remove you from what simplicity of God has said. Isn't it amazing that we have a privilege, every one of us, that we can grab a hold of God has said something to me? You know, actually, we have to. It is really our lives. God has said, what has he said? God has called. I was, just as I was sitting there, we're traveling to the Philippines now, maybe 10 years. And it was 10 years ago, Pastor Shabelli spoke to me and says, Pastor Drew, go to the Philippines. And we went. And now we've probably gone since then 50, 60 times. But I didn't have to go back and ask him again, should I go to the Philippines? Because it's simple. You know, God speaks and we just continue in that until something changes from the voice of God. Very, very simple. Like, you know, like we're always, you know, we have to talk about offering because, you know, the other part of this verse is fleshly wisdom, right? You know, simplicity. Listen to what he says. That the testimony of our conscience is this. How do you do it? It's simple. What? No. There's a lot of things involved. No, there's not. Yes, there is. No, there's not. There's simplicity of Jesus Christ, and there's fleshly wisdom of man, right? And Paul is saying that we have the privilege to operate in life is complicated. No, it's not. Was Christ's life complicated? No. Why? I do what I see the Father do. Is that easy enough? What do I do? I do what the Spirit of God allows me to see to do. Right? What is my place then? I'm looking. Lord, what do you say? Lord, guide me. Lord, direct me. Lord, call me. And when the Lord calls me, do I go to fleshly wisdom? No. Right? Look, he says, not with fleshly wisdom. What's a fleshly wisdom? You'll love this definition. It's wisdom that comes from the flesh. So we just turned that around the other way, you know. Yeah, that's the... Man, what a definition. All right, so, well, and that's exactly, well, what does it mean? Let's think of some fleshly wisdoms. You know, I mean, maybe, I don't know what you're doing, so, okay. You know what a fleshly wisdom is? An opinion is a fleshly wisdom. You got it? Some people got so many opinions. I hate those things. Somebody will come to me and say, what do you think? I'm not thinking. Because that demands some fleshly wisdom. That demands some deductive reasoning. We are men and women that we live by what God says. We don't have opinions. We have the voice of God. Right? What is fleshly wisdom? It is a man that thinks just within himself. Right? You remember like the man with the barns, you know? You remember the publican thinking within himself? That's fleshly wisdom. And he says, fleshly wisdom is what? I have an understanding and I lean upon it, right? But what's Proverbs 3:5 say? You may have an understanding, but don't you lean on it, right? What am I looking to? What do you say, Lord? What's your voice? And this is where I say it's like the greatest manifestation of grace. He says, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God. Can you imagine the grace of God is so great it could deliver me from fleshly wisdom? Now that takes a lot of grace, right? But that's the grace that's made available to you and me. Can you imagine? And I mean, we all experience this freedom because we hear the voice of God and we're obeying him and we're following him. But could you imagine such a testimony of a conscience? Remember, having our consciences, what? Washed. Like, wait a minute, I don't have to think anymore. I can hear instead, right? I can think with God now. Not within myself, not based upon offenses, not things that have happened, not based upon finances or physical health. Not, we can think out of all of those things and think by the grace of God. Like we could say, like, faithful is he who calls me, who can also do it. What is that? That's a testimony of the conscience. Paul's saying, that's how we do it. God speaks, and you know what? It's so simple. We just hear. So like in our lives, you know, we're walking, we're doing, and unfortunately, we're trying to figure things out. And that's the part, like, where by the grace of God, fleshly wisdom is just removed from us. And we can go like, what do you say, Lord? You know? And then, you know, thank God we're in such a godly body that when the Spirit of God speaks to us, we get many witnesses. Amen. And what are we really looking for in one another? Jesus Christ. Amen? I mean, in a good way. God is called. Amen. You know, like in our ministry, anyone comes to me and says, God is calling me to do this. You know what I say? Amen. I'm for you. I'm behind you 100%. And what happens when they fall? Well, we just get up and do it again. What are we learning to do? We're learning the simplicity of Jesus Christ. We're learning God's called me to give. We're learning God's called me into the mission field. We're learning God's given me. You know, we can try to generate conviction in fleshly wisdom, but we'll never get there. But when the Spirit of God speaks to us, you know what? We get godly convictions. It's got to be the simplicity of Jesus Christ. And you know what I love about it? We never have to outgrow that. It really takes a lot of grace that we can stay right there. What are you doing? I'm doing what God has called me. Don't you think? No. Well, don't you? No, I don't. I believe when God speaks, that is enough. The simplicity. And you know what? It does take a lot of grace to like get away from that logic and that fleshly wisdom that, you know, it taunts every one of us to some degree. And the Spirit of God is saying, come on, simplicity, go. Then we go. Come, and we come. You remember, you know, in Matthew 8, you know, that greatest faith, I just know when he speaks, and I obey. What a joy we have. And like by the grace of God, we just let fleshly wisdom fall on the ground. And we go, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm not leaning on my understanding. I'm not leaning on my logic. I am like Abraham, hoping against hope. You know, the hope of the world, the assurance it gives, we push it aside and we go, wait a second, I have something more sure, and it's the simplicity of the gospel of grace. Amen. Thank you, guys.
That was a good message. Wow, wasn't it? I enjoyed that. That's amazing. You know, when Adam and Eve were in the garden and the devil started to talk to Eve, what did he want her to do? Huh? What did he want her to do? How long have you been a Christian? He wanted her to eat of that tree. And when she looked at it, she saw two things. What did she see when she looked at the tree? It was good to look at. And number two, it would make you wise. Right? Boy, I'm surprised you guys didn't know that. I mean, you know it, but you didn't want to say anything because in a crowd like this, you don't want to be seen to be wrong. So the best thing is to be quiet. Amen? Okay. I'd be embarrassed, but not in front of so many people. Okay, listen. He said it so well. You know, fleshly wisdom. But the tree looks beautiful, and it will make me wise. So I'll eat of it. That's fleshly wisdom, isn't it? You know, there are so many things in this world that are in contest with God. But in a way, when we live with God, we kind of, you know, we are hearing from God. And he says, don't eat of the tree And the other thing is, but it looks beautiful and it will make me wise. And the Lord says, don't eat of the tree. Believe me. So isn't that good? And this is what he said. It was so good. I got notes there. That's a great message. Convention is coming. Convention is the last full week of June. We have all these folks coming in from different parts of the world, and pastors and missionaries, and it's going to be a great week. Please keep it in your hearts and minds. Invite people, get on the phone. We're going to have a very good time, a spiritual moving of God in our hearts. And these kind of times together are just precious. This is how we live. Welcome this MBCNS graduate. Yesterday he graduated, Donald Valerio.
Good morning. How's everybody doing? Let me just pray first. Lord, just bless these few words, Lord, and thank you for this church, Lord. Thank you for these pastors, Lord, these leaders. Really, just the way you taught them, Lord, and just really bringing it down to us. And just, Lord, let these words come out to life, Lord. Just breathe on it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I was up late preparing this message. And also I was listening to Build My Life by House Fires. So I was just like really stirred up preparing this. Turn with me, please, to Ecclesiastes 1:8. If I can find it. This is a New King James Version, so just bear with me. Verse 8, and it says, all things are full of labor. Man cannot express it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. So I was asked to share a little of my testimony of my life. 7 years ago, I looked at that verse. I was like in the lowest point in my life. Yeah. And I seen that verse, and it was not really encouraging. So I was like, wow. I mean, it hit me right in the head. And, you know, I was always saved when I was little. But I just thought it was my mother's faith, and out of respect to her, I went to church. And so living in the world, you just know when you see that verse, it's like, it's wow, you're laboring. And I was chasing after the wind. And, you know, it's kind of funny. You can never catch the wind. And well, that's what I was doing. Had no purpose, no direction, really no identity. And basically, I was like the prodigal son. The only reason in Luke 15 he returned was there was famine in the land. So when you know you have nothing, and when you feel like you're nothing, yeah, this verse is tough to swallow. So I like to turn with me to Job. Job had I don't want to compare experiences, but he had a little tougher than me. So Job 42, verse 5. And I love the way the Amplified like brings this verse out. And it says, I had heard of you only by the hearing of your ear, but now my spiritual eye sees you. Here's a man also, he had no peace, he had no health, he lost everything. You know, let's say he lost his house, he lost his children, his wife lost her mind. So it's like a lot of things that he lost as well. But then in this verse he says, but I see you now with spiritual eyes. And it's so important, like when you know God, when you get to know his nature and his love. Like you get to see him beyond your problems, beyond your faults, beyond your past. Like you see him with spiritual eyes. And I just love the fact when I read that verse 7 years ago, Ecclesiastes 1:8, I said, okay, I have to make a decision now. I have to seek. And in Jeremiah 29:13, it says, seek me with all your heart. Now, it's funny, that verse doesn't say a quarter of it, quarter of your heart, or half your heart, or three quarters of your. It says all your heart, like fully, like with all your energy, with all your drive, with all your desire, seek me. And then you will find me. And I believe Job had that experience. He had to go through what he had to go through, but then he saw, he was driven to know God in a new level. Yesterday, I shared a little bit, a little words of at the breakfast, not just me, but other students. And I just said, what if I said no? You know, what if I said no to going to Argentina? I would have never met that beautiful body that I met. And shout outs to them because I know they're watching. Just like what I said, how about if I said no to coming to Bible college 4 years ago? You know, I would have missed out on a lot of things, And I thank God I didn't say no. So going back to church, I'm talking about 7 years ago, going back to church, reading my Bible, then finding out that, okay, so what's my purpose in life? And Isaiah 43:7 says to glorify him. So then I go, okay, well, then let me go to Bible college and let me try this thing out. All right. And so going, and then, like, again, just knowing him. And I thank God, honestly, thank God for grace, because I wouldn't be here today without it. And Pastor Stephen's definition of grace is it's the character and nature of God. And I taught a Bible college in Argentina, and it's kind of ironic because I'm a Bible college student. But it was so much fun. I had so much fun. And the class was called cross-cultural evangelism. And so I was talking about different cultures. And I had a little twist to it, too. I did an overview of different religions, too, just because it was pertaining to the culture. And, in all my research, Jesus Christ is the only, in the world, religious figure that says this statement that no other religions have said, that I've tried to find. In Matthew 11:29, he says this key word, learn of me. Now, it's interesting that learning Christ is like, I got to seek it. And then not only that, I have to find how he is and how, like God saying, what Jesus is saying, learn, have my mind in situations. Like, know how I love people. Know how I serve people. It's like, I'm not just holy in that I'm to worship. I'm also a person that you can emulate. I'm also a person that you can get to know. I'm also a person that can transform you to the image of me. And so that's like a special thing that no other religions can ever say or hasn't said. And legalism is another thing. Like, you can never know God in it either. You can never know God if to learn of him, of his character. And Genesis 11, and I've said this before, it's like the Tower of Babel, and we all know the story. But it was a picture that God never wanted man to get to him. He always had a plan for him to come to us. And the cross was that bridge between, man to God. And Philippians 3:9, this is another verse that was very interesting when Paul says, in him is not my righteousness, not my work. Basically, it's not my work, it's the finished work. So, and knowing God is like, it's only by grace. Peter ends his epistle by saying in 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter, he has a bad rap. You know, there's a lot of things recorded. And him being a leader, I guess it can be a little blown up to what it is. But a lot of stuff is recorded, a lot of mistakes. So you ask Peter, you know, you supposedly a leader. You dropped the ball, my man. You rejected Christ. You know, you over here fishing when he tells you to go out in the world. And you know what Peter's response would be? It would be this. I know, and another thing too, I noticed when he made a mistake, it was not a tumbling effect. Like sometimes when we make a mistake, we make one bad decision after another. But he always rebounded. Like he was quick. Okay, even Jesus called him out and rebuked him. But he rebounded from that situation. And again, like if you ask Peter, it's like, Peter, like, how are you able to go and preach to the masses after, you know, rejecting Christ? And this will be Peter's response. Is like, I know the character and nature. I know who it is that has been loving me. Like, I can draw back because I know him personally. And it's only by grace. Because at times, my heart will condemn me. But he is greater than my heart. And the funny thing is, it's like, what he does to my sins, as far as his east to the west. And do you know, Psalm 103, verse 12, the reason why he does that, as far as the east to the west, so you can know in every direction that his love is coming to you. Like in every direction, he's loving you. That's why he casts it so far. So you don't have to worry about your condemnation or anything. It's like he's loving you. And also it's his goodness. It's his goodness that leads us to repentance. Like he's so good and the love that we have for him. That's why we want to change. And it's not like people telling us to do it. It's just like it's what we want. It's what we crave. And you know, like where else, you know, Peter would continue to respond. Like, where else would I go? Where would I go? I mean, this guy has eternal life. I this is why I keep drawing back, because I know his heart, and I know how his heart is towards me. And it's just a beautiful thing, Peter, like the way Peter does. But anyway, so again, it's only by grace. It's only by grace to know God and his character. I need to learn of him. And the only way of doing that is by grace. So let me just like slow down real quick. So it's only by grace to know his character and nature of God. Of character and nature. So without grace, I can't know it. And like if I can't be religious about it, it's not my righteousness. It's not my good works. It's not how many, you know, scriptures I can quote. It's not how holy I look. It's not nothing about my efforts that I can know who God is. It's only by grace. And I love that. I love that. So yesterday morning, also other students were sharing. I recorded some words that they said. Matt said on his first day, a sense of peace overcome him on his first day. And then James also said, Bible college has added value in my life. And Brigida said that having a mindset, how I look at things. Rachel said, I had to find my own faith. God changing my heart. You notice all these statements have one thing in common. And I'll give you a little tip of what Bible college is about. I'll give you a little taste. It's not learning of who I am after the flesh. Like, this is one thing I enjoy, Galatians 5:16, where it says, walk in the Spirit. You know, when I walk through those doors and I'm seated in those seats for 3-4 hours, I'm not learning about who I am. You know, I'm not learning about my character and my nature. Like, I'm learning about who I am in a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, like who I am, the new Donald, not the old Donald. And this is how change happens. And it's the love of God that's changing. It doesn't demand a change, right? He produces one. So like maybe you have that mindset, like, oh, well, he goes to Bible college, he must be perfect. No, well, that's far from the truth. But we're learning about how God's love is perfecting in us. And this is what we learn, and this is how we change, and this is how we grow. And this is how, like, weak people and people that used to be nervous or people who couldn't read and people couldn't speak in front of people, this is how you see the work of God being used and manifested. And so, again, I'm not learning about who I am, or I'm not learning about my character. And I'll end with this, if you don't mind turning back to Ecclesiastes 1:8. And we'll finish up here. So again, like 7 years ago, this verse, man, when I read it, it says, all things are full of labor. Man cannot express it. The eye is not satisfied by what's seen. Wow. So anything I look at, I'm never going to be satisfied. Like any dollar amount that comes to me, I'm never going to be happy. Or any desire, like we said, you know, the fleshly wisdom, like any desire that I'm saying, I can never be satisfied. Nor my ear from hearing, like, but with spiritual eyes, I look at this verse now, and I can confidently tell you that my eyes are satisfied, and that my ears are full of hearing. And these last 4 years has been incredible. I'm moving to tomorrow to join the church with Pastor Bailey, and so I'm gonna miss a lot of you, and so thank you so much. Hope this was edifying. Hope this stirred you up. Amen.